This is the Drink Culture Podcast. It is an Indianapolis-based show that is hosted and produced by Fabian Rodriguez, Jared Bisco, and Haley Brown. We chose three excerpts to present. The first is from episode 44 with Graham Brown and Grant Gilman from United State of Indiana, talking about socialism, politics, and incentivizing people to have less children. The second is from episode 46 with Melina Simone Jeffers, talking about what made her decide to stay in Indianapolis and make cool things happen here. And the last is from episode 30 with Jesse and Greg Harden, owners of The Garden Table, talking about how to handle Yelp reviews as a business owner these days and the mafia. We hope that you enjoy. Hey guys, it's Fabian, and you are listening to another episode of the Drink Culture Podcast, a show about the business owners, thought leaders, and creators who have helped make Indianapolis what it is today. We want you to drink deep of the culture that surrounds you, so listen in.
It's just, we're gonna have Donald Trumps that are our age.
I was just about to ask about socialism, and you jumped in politics, which I knew was coming.
I think our generation our generation does have to reconcile that. Are we ready for, like, you know, the first human trillionaire? Are we ready for it to be a kid who's our age, graduated from IU, made an app, and now he's a trillionaire? And, like, you know, he's as big as the biggest countries, this one person. Can we reconcile what that would be? And I think we don't need to, and everyone should push toward, like, there's a better way. Just split it all. Instead of building pyramids, just like plant fields or whatever an accurate metaphor is of, like, stop building up and putting things below you so that you're still at the top.
But we're going to have to keep building up if people keep having children.
Absolutely. Right? This is a big Grant social.
There's so many people on this planet. It's too many people. Have you driven on a street? Man. There's cars everywhere. It's too many people. It's insane. Like, people complain about illegal immigration. There are way more babies being born every day than immigrants coming across the border. It's that, like, that's illegal immigration. No one checked those kids out. You know what I mean? Like, where are the background checks on all these people being born? It's insane.
What was the name of that short satirical story where people are sitting on babies?
You know, I don't know. I haven't heard of it. Sounds good.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Haley?
No, I have no idea.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna put this in the show notes. Yes, right. People were sitting on babies, but it was a satire, so they weren't really doing it. A modest proposal.
Should we have a limit on how many children you can have?
I think we should just incentivize less children. I mean, you can't. I don't think that's right to limit it like that, but just incentivize.
Like, so China?
In some way. No, well, yeah, not like China. China's right, incentives are a little harsh.
It's strict.
Well, China's incentivizing you to have one child, right, and they're incentivizing you by not killing the other one, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you're proposing, Grant?
No, not quite that. Not quite that hard on that.
But it does. It's kind of the same. It ties into the same thing, which is just, like, you can choose to expand everything at once because it's there. Like, we can, having kids is a smart economic decision for the American economy. Like, it keeps all the wheels in motion, you know, in new industries spring up all the time because there are new humans growing up all the time. And
wait, are you saying this is a good thing?
No.
Or a bad thing?
No. I'm saying, No, I'm not saying that's it. Why would I say a good economic decision for America is a good thing? No, I'm saying that is the case that's being made. That is wrong because the pyramid is just getting bigger, and the bottom is always going to, like, bottom out, and there's always going to be people who don't have enough, and there's always going to be people who grasp, like, who had that one good idea, who made the one good logo, designed the app, bought the land while it was cheap. All these like signs of predatory ownership of, you know, let me have my hand in the market, that will just keep taking. And the more kids we have, or the more whatever, the more everything expands. That's just, like, the entrepreneurs of our generation are fierce. Like, Zuckerberg wasn't like, oh, you know, I just want Facebook to be for soccer players, you know, like that. And that's my niche. I love how soccer, I was a soccer player. Yeah, right. You know, like, he wasn't,
Facebook was for you.
It
was,
he wasn't right? just like, oh, I see a niche that I really want to serve. This niche reminds me of my cousins and how we, you know, there's none of that. The innovations of our day are all encompassing. Google doesn't ever stop anywhere. There's no one that is outside their target market. And they'll take it all. You know, anything we feed in, Facebook and Google, good example of how much money have we made that Facebook and Google have. Tons, right? Facebook takes our money every week because we have ads on it all the time. Like, there is no little man success story completely removed from the giants of the day. Just like, sure. You know, just like you couldn't get away if you started a little.
I mean, would you have a business without social media?
No, I don't think so. I mean, how, you know, there's no way enough people would have Googled.
I don't know if that's true. We've actually done a good job of getting out in front of actual people. I think we could do. We
but,
do get
but
out
I
in front.
Didn't do that
it wouldn't
the
be
beginning.
The, not in the beginning, right?
Are you guys in a phone book?
No, definitely.
Are there phone books? Yeah.
And we've never had an address. Wow. We never had an address people wanted to. We wanted people to know about until now.
One thing on the kids, just real quick. I just want to do a quick shout out that we do have a new kids line coming out this summer. Yeah. So while I don't agree that we should be having so many babies, for everyone that is, okay, for all the people who are having kids, we have some clothes coming out very soon.
Oh, Grant, the timing on that was perfect. Thank you.
That's pretty perfect.
What is it about Indianapolis that makes you want to do these things for Indianapolis, right? You're putting it on your back. You obviously doesn't seem like you want to go anywhere. You know, what attracts you to stay here and make this place better?
So two things. I think I don't know if I have one thing or two things.
It could be 10.
It could be. So like when I was deciding whether or not I wanted to stay in Indy, right? Like after college, everybody talks about where they're going to go, and you know, friends are going to New York because they want to be in the fashion industry, or to wherever because they want to do whatever. So there's just a way that you can think about that. You can say, I'm going to go to another city where they already have this going on, or you could say, well, I'll just make it in Indianapolis and then do it here. And so I thought of things in the latter way and just said, you know, they're running off to like be a little fish in a, what's it called?
A big pond.
Yeah, a little fish in a big pond.
You're right. Yeah. Instead of just like making it so here. So the cool thing about Indianapolis is that you can do that, right? You have that opportunity to make something so, and connect with people who also want to do the same thing, connect with people that can help. And we're just kind of a very, what's the word? Like when you source for ideas, like we kind of feed off of energy, and when people are doing great things, we build them up, I think.
Incubator kind of.
Yeah.
Feeling.
I mean, it's kind of progressive, right?
All right.
Weird.
Oh.
Let's
weird.
Let's take that full circle, assholes.
You couldn't wait to get that in.
It just came to me. Sorry.
I'm not gonna live that one down for a while.
It's okay.
Yeah, so we're cool in that way. You can make things happen here, and you can find help.
So speaking of listening to your audience, have you guys had any, how do you handle a Yelp review? Or have you had a negative Yelp review any sort of review that you just wanted to fly off the rocking chair and punch
you
punch
better, better take this one. It'll get explicit real quick.
Yeah, Greg,
hey, that's okay.
Greg has a very strong opinion on Yelp, as I think everyone in this industry does. I will say, the most ridiculous Yelp review we've ever gotten.
Ooh, yes, quotes.
Okay.
I like these.
So, and it's hard to find because it's like way, way, way back. It's at least 2 years ago. Sure. But, fresh cold pressed juice that's completely unprocessed and completely raw separates. After it sits for a while.
Like when we were taking the pictures.
I was going to say, we just went through that.
Yeah. Okay. Like you get there's a certain amount of fiber that still comes through in the juicing process when you do cold press, as well as the majority is straight liquid juice extract. So those two things separate in the bottle after sitting there. We have a Yelp review that says that our juices are like made from concentrate and that we put ground up vegetables at the bottom and then pour water on top. You know, and it's like one of those things where you're like, oh my God, I want to answer this one real bad. Mm-hmm. But we kind of from the get-go, just knowing Yelp and the general perception in the industry about what owners and operators feel like about it, we from the get-go decided we're not going to respond to any reviews. Mm. And Yelp tries to get you to. They call you and they're like,
oh yeah,
if you respond, you know, you're a lot more people are going to interact with you. To me, it's like, it is what it is. It's a platform for people to voice their opinion, and that's fine. And if I tried to justify every bad review, you know, I would waste thousands of hours of my life, and or anyone, you know, any of us would that would be responding. And it's like, to me, the proof's in the pudding. Like, mm-hmm. the majority of people like our shit. So if you don't, yeah. that's quite all right. You don't have to come back, you know? And like, if someone reads your review and doesn't come because of it, that sucks for us. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you all the reasons why we're good. You know, like, mm-hmm. to me, our servers and our food speak for themselves. So it is what it is.
When I think you guys serve a specific person, you know what I mean? And you know, I say that as an outsider and how I perceive it, but I think you serve a specific person. And I'll get into a little bit about, you know, what I think your special sauce is and what brings me and my wife and our friends coming back, because we've come on several occasions. It's the fact that when you're trying to be healthy, but you're also trying to go hard, like, you need to have a place that gives you both. You don't want to eat a double cheeseburger and then have like a couple cocktails and a few beers, because you're going to feel terrible.
Absolutely.
But if you can look
I'm feeling a new name here, healthy and hard. Like, yes.
But like, if hard you, can find, if you can find a place that strikes a balance, and it's not like, you know, you're not going to like a Vitality Bowl, I'm sure you do a great thing, but I'm just using you as an example here of like, you know, you have a nice sit down place that actually has, you know, pride in the food that they're putting out there and a message behind what they're trying to do, like a larger message that involves the community.
Right.
It's just a special balance, and that sticks out here. It really does. And as somebody who's a patron to your establishment, I can say that because we go up and down and we have a lot of different places that we can choose to, you know, to spend our money.
Totally.
And to me, that's what I think that you guys are doing that is so great, is you're striking that really nice balance.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's what we're, so I don't know if that's what you guys are going for, but
it is totally. I mean,
and the acai bowl is just amazing too. So my wife gets that 3 times a week.
It's so fire.
I want to take a step back to the Yelp thing really quick.
I like this.
I didn't get my chance to speak on the topic. So I love bad reviews. I love good reviews because there's something to be learned out of all of them, right?
Love it.
So for that part, I love Yelp. I think what the normal public doesn't understand is Yelp is very similar to like the mafia. So right, you pay the mafia for protection. So you don't want the guys to come beat you up, so you pay the mafia a percentage every month. Well, Yelp acts the same way. They'll come to you and say, hey, you give us $500, $1,200. Mm-hmm. We'll take all your bad reviews off and put all of your good reviews up to the top.
Yep.
So when anybody's out there scanning their phones looking for some place to eat, they think you're an amazing place, you know? So even if you have a ton of problems, you don't know. They could be paying them $500 a month. And all of a sudden, the public eye sees, well, this place is great. Let's try it. Really, it sucks. So
yeah.
I just told them, look, I'll just do better at my job. We'll do better here. We'll get better food, better service. That's my final thing on Yelp.
Can you opt out of Yelp? Can you choose to not be on Yelp?
No, because not, a user can create your location. And can then
you can't like have them take it down?
You can, no.